back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, February 6, 2020. We're on the phones. We have Chance in West Virginia on the line. I don't mean to go on and on, but it's a profound and significant question, I would say. You know, it's definitely, I think you could argue, your question is kind of the question of our time, in a sense.
It seems to me, Chris, that
yeah, what are we to do about it, I think? You know, what are we to make of that, and what are we to do about it? How are we to respond?
It seems to me, Chris, that the seeds of hatred and destruction are sown so deep at this point that they're looking forward to the great spiritual showdown like a mad scientist with his finger on the button. At times it appears that way to me, and this is why I asked you that question. Is this what they want? Do they want to fulfill Bible prophecy? Are they...
It's interesting, you know, again, though, I mean, think about it. For a long time, I'm sure you know, I've harped on the allegedly spurious letter of Albert Pike to Giuseppe Mazzini, August 15, 1871, you know, Pike outlining three world wars. We could quibble about the first two, but the third, I mean, is that not exactly what's happening? And this letter has been known for about at least 100 years. So how do you explain all of this? It's been known since before the creation of Saudi Arabia and Israel. It's been known since before the cultural Marxist, the Frankfurt School, came into existence. You read about these characters, you know, Restif, Babouf, Rizzo, you know, all of these characters that folks like Nesta Webster wrote about. And you start reading about this letter and this plot to, you know, foment this great conflict, you know, the way that it reads, the Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of Islamic world. We hear about that conflict every day in the headlines, you know, Trump administration as much as any other. I mean, you know, Jared Kushner says he's read a few books on the situation, so now he's a foreign policy expert for peace in the Middle East, even though, you know, his idea of peace in the Middle East is, hey, these Palestinians, you know, they need to, we're throwing a dog a bone here, and if the dog doesn't want the bone, well, dog should expect what it's going to get. I mean, that's not much of a deal for people that have been so mistreated, you know, even by the standards of the specious Balfour Declaration. If anybody would take a moment to read it, what does it say? It being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine. Has that been honored? Because to my knowledge, it's been anything but that. It's been everything but that. So Pike's letter, you know, colliding the political Zionists and the Islamic world together, which, you know, is Israel and Saudi Arabia predominantly, although the bad guys, the ne'er-do-wells of foreign policy, would have you believing it's the Shia community, most notably Iran, that we have to, you know, what are they doing exactly? Who's projecting power, as Noam Chomsky says? As far as I can tell, Iran is surrounded on all sides. Anyway, the letter continues. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam and political Zionism mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economical exhaustion. Seems to be happening. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists. That was the Frankfurt School in particular. and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, and this gets to what you're talking about, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and the most bloody turmoil. Then what? The reactionary movement. What's the you know, the synthesis of that thesis? Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization and the multitude disillusioned with Christianity. But again, it's a counterfeit. It's not real Christianity, but what would you expect from Albert Pike? Whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out into public view. For those who doubt that he would write something like that, read Morals and Dogma if you can slog through it, and you will see that, yes, Lucifer is God to folks like Albert Pike.
And Chris, isn't it interesting how they're so intent on pulling down all statues of Confederate generals, but yet Albert Pike's statue,
they won't touch that one. Absolutely.
Exactly, but that's the only one that they don't mind leaving standing. That should tell people something,
but
right there.
The they is a relative term, absolutely. The people doing the pulling down are just, you know, dupes and useless idiots, quite frankly.
Exactly.
I mean, no offense to those people, but it's the theys that planned the pulling down that are the influencers, like the Huckabees say, you know, to create havoc in the world, you need the intellectual spark and the underclass fuel. And that's exactly, you know, and I was thinking about that with regard to Kirk Douglas, who I would say was sort of a Bolshevik immigrant, you know. It's the Bolshevist America that I'm not a fan of, so to speak. And that sort of, again, harkens back to this letter, allegedly spurious, but we have this pervasive influence. So anyway, the last line of the letter apparently is this manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. I think that is the plan. And to your question, which is to me sort of rhetorical and sort of not, but you know, I think of that, and I also think of the way that Jaron Lanier put it so brilliantly in chapter 2 of You Are Not a Gadget, when he said, and tell me that this is not happening in what is presumed to be the Christian community. He wrote, if you believe the rapture is imminent, fixing the problems of this life might not be your greatest priority. You might even be eager to embrace wars and tolerate poverty and disease and others to bring about the conditions that could prod the rapture into being. Well, that's curious. Sounds like exactly what you're saying. And then he says, in the same way, if you believe the singularity is coming soon, you might cease to design technology to serve humans and prepare instead for the grand events it will bring. And again, that seems to be precisely what's happening. And I don't think that's not a whimsical little musing that he's making. He's saying, this is what's going on. And it's brilliantly articulated, I think.
This rapture theory that was foisted upon the people has them thinking they're going to be sitting in the great grandstand in the sky, looking down and watching everybody else suffer.
Mm-hmm.
They're sadly mistaken. But we all know the story about Schofield and who financed them, and but
John Nelson Darby.
I mean,
it's around
it's
the
incredible.
Same. Yeah.
But I think we're at that point. I think it's very possible we're at that point of a spiritual showdown. I can't help but wonder, because things have gotten really overt now. It's in your face. It's all the stops have been pulled out. It appears that way, unless people wake up.
It is so crazy. People are losing their minds. Let me give you a practical example that I can speak to personally. I know of a situation where some family members, for example, are trying to support the efforts of another family member to fight MS, for example. They have done some things to try to marshal support and just sort of organize and coordinate the troops, so to speak, to execute something in very short order with limited resources, but to maximize the efficiency of everything and everyone involved, you know, not to waste anyone's time, not to waste any of the resources. And because of political, you know, wrangling basically and petty garbage, in my opinion, those efforts have basically, it seems like they've stalled. So what I'm trying to say without getting into the specifics is these people are trying to do a good thing for a family member, and the people involved on the periphery of that have voiced their support, but because of a political bone stuck in their craw, they're going to stick on some stupid, specious political garbage rather than help a family member of these people they supposedly care about fight MS. That's the kind of petty garbage that we're experiencing in America. And that's just rampant. Like you're saying, it's everywhere.
I've lost a relative to MS 8 months ago in the Midwest.
I hear that.
So I know what you're speaking of. All right, Chris, I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much for taking my call, and God bless you now.
You too, Chance. Thanks for calling. Much appreciated. It's just, it is, you know, I think it is really the question of our time. Why? You know, and why listen to this nonsense? I mean, people go do some research, but everybody's trusting, you know, it's a big mechanism. I mean, CNN's big. Could something that big be wrong? Yeah, absolutely. Could something that big really be controlled? Absolutely. Could a billion Chinese be wrong? Sure, it's possible. It's definitely possible. You know, go read about John Nelson Darby and, you know, the concepts of his, you know, what his advancement of this modern dispensationalism and futurism, which is just sort of part and parcel to all this other stuff. Technocracy and the singular. I mean, really, there's no, like Jaron Lanier points out, it's two sides of the same coin, and it's not a good coin. Get rid of that garbage. On the singularity side, I mean, I was speaking to that earlier, too. As far as the technology is concerned, we can see it. If you play with any of that new software that I was talking about, you look at it and you go, gosh, this just seems like, I don't get it. Why all this stuff? It doesn't really do anything. I mean, by the time I'm done goofing around with this, I just write something by hand. Why don't I just do that? Or use one of these smaller static site generators or some other tool. Why the constant effort to push this stuff? Oh, it's so great. It's so great. Really? What do you do with it? What do you make with it that's so fantastic? Meanwhile, Jaron Lanier has a simple HTML4 page and ugly iframes that have scroll bars in both directions, vertical and horizontal. Ah, it's hideous. Not really, but kind of. But you know what? There it is. And ironically, you know, we're supposed to be so concerned about responsive, but really, I mean, that old stuff is responsive too. Mostly. So who cares? Yeah. Bob Hardison would be, you know, he'd be right on point as far as Jaron Lanier is concerned. You know, and for that matter, I mean, if he could do what he did, then shucks. I mean, we could all do it. And the tools are not obviously being created to lend themselves to that. You can see the push to work toward this singularity concept from top to bottom. You know, the tools aren't being created to lend the effort of people creating their own content, expressing themselves creatively. That's becoming more and more difficult. You know, you have to have all of these different things snap together, and you have to think about all these different things. But you know what? None of that matters, because, I mean, even on the above board side of the discussion, organizations like Google say, well, you know, we'll take care of that. We'll take charge of that. We'll decide what this is about and blah, 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 blah. So, and there are some very serious efforts in that regard. One of them, the Calais project. You know, what is the new thing now? It is the, used to be Open Calais, which is a Thomson Reuters project, a Rothschild project, might as well call it. And now it's Open PermID. It's the PermID project. What is PermID? PermID.org. Connecting data to the world. Huh? What does that even mean? It's one of those ambiguous slogans that really means more to whomever, wherever, than it does to you or I or really anybody else. It's just, it's bad guy nodding to bad guy, I would call it. But, you know, if you look at the examples in this, this is a perfect example. You know, it's mining of data and things, smart, intelligent, AI-driven semantic tagging of content and things. But for what purpose? Is it so that things are more readable and findable by you and I, or even at a business level? I mean, sort of, but not really. It's very disingenuous. It's very, you know, you read through some of this stuff and you just go, I kind of understand what you're saying, and I think I understand what you're getting at, but it just doesn't seem like, it just seems like a lot of machinery dedicated to something that doesn't quite resonate with what you say you're really doing it for. We'll be right back.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance. No flowers, no flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still driving, still making the grade. She's hoping in time that her memories will fade.
Welcome back.
He's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting.
I think Chance's question or questions or the issue that he's talking about, I think it's prescient. And I can only imagine what he experiences from day to day that would lead him to ask those kinds of questions or, you know, have the kind of discussion that we had on air. I know what I experience, and it seems that just the viciousness and the mental and moral disconnect, the hypocrisy, it's rampant. It's everywhere. And it's on the rise, and people, I don't know, are just sort of detached from reality. Really, honestly, I think that most people in America, I've said it before, but I really do believe that most people suffer from a degree of schizoaffective disorder. They're very dishonest. And I don't mean that, you know, not, I wouldn't say intentionally dishonest, although I think there's an argument for that too. You know, we have, you know, you look at Romans chapter 1 or Hosea chapter 4 or, you know, the beginning of Isaiah or Jeremiah or there is man's standard and then there's God's standard. And so, you know, we can sort of quibble about the details when it comes to our standard, but it's, you know, it's an inferior standard. setting that aside, I don't think it's an intentional dishonesty on the part of most people. I think it speaks to this other stuff that Chance and I were talking about, the what I would call the spiritual aspect, the spiritual battle, the deception, the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 kind of grand deception, that styled sort of deception. And just normalizing things. This is what I've been talking about. This is why I mentioned Hayek's Road to Serfdom, chapter 10, coming through the 2016 election. Think of how we have assimilated and normalized the kind of brutality and viciousness that we used to speak out against in opposition to. And now it's like we've just internalized it and normalized it. That's why we keep playing that clip. You know, Jordan Peterson on Jocko Willink's podcast, How a Totalitarian State is Actually Created. How? You're living it, America. You're living it. Right now. This is how. This kind of brutality and viciousness, divisiveness. It's, you know, no small point of note, in my opinion, that the Frankfurt School, what I would call them provocateurs, I guess, did not live by their own credo. I mean, only to an extent that it served their own morbid proclivities. But again, you know, guys like Theodore Adorno he was a very cultured individual. You know, and speaking of cultured individuals, it's my understanding Kobe Bryant was, a young man who lived in different countries who spoke, it's my understanding, 4 languages. Anyway, that's an aside. But, you know, the Theodore Adornos, they were very cultured, very, you know, sophisticated tastes. Their morbid proclivities notwithstanding, they didn't live by the credo they advanced. Yet it's, you know, it's been foisted upon the American people, and we've been the body politic has been infected by it, by and large. And so that's unfortunate, to say the least. It's quite a mess we find ourselves in. And, you know, everyone's working for the wrong things in the wrong direction, it seems, and no one has time to stop and say, hold on a second, let's think about this. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having
Welcome
fun.
Back.
You know what I mean.
People are losing their minds, acting a fool, as some people would say. And you know, this is the kind of stuff that used to get us whooped when some of us were kids. Some of us grew up in a time when you might get away with getting someone to repeat themselves once, but you would probably rue the day you tried to get them to repeat themselves twice. And there was a sound reason for that. Sometimes it was life-threatening danger that you were avoiding because you were paying attention, not detached from reality, wandering around with your head in some schizoaffective cloud, some suspension of disbelief, sort of cognitive dissonance. People are bickering about things that don't matter and don't affect their daily lives. You know, the things that have graced the mainstream media for the last, well, I don't know, nearly 4 years now. I suppose we could go back beyond that. Really don't effectively, I mean, there are some things, but they aren't the things that get talked about. There are some things that have happened in this administration, for example. I've heard people talk about in practical ways that have, you know, benefited their lives, for example. Some of the regulatory changes have benefited people directly. But that is not a conversation that you, I don't hear it. That's not the majority of what I hear. And again, I obviously traffic in limited circles, like I think most of us. Not saying that's representative of anything in particular, but I don't hear anyone saying, oh, well, you know, we're having that discussion over here. It just seems like most of it's banal, divisive, vitriolic sort of rhetoric. People have been infected by it, which, you know, ironically, sounds like the kind of mind virus that Larkin, Texas has been warning us about for years. Richard Dawkins, The Selfish Gene. The Royal Society Book Prize, that group celebrated the book as the most influential science book of all time. And it's not really even a science book. You know, Roald Dahl writes the most influential science book of all time. That's kind of, you know, what it feels like. People are being infected with mind viruses and becoming vicious and brutal. And it's, you know, the forces that study the selfish gene, memetics and memetic engineering, those kinds of things, again, they want to infect people to such a pervasive degree that, I mean, not only are you irreparably changed, but it's such a pervasive imprint that it's imprinted on your DNA, essentially, and passed along to posterity. That's the concept. Don't believe me? Go read that Verge article from 2018 yourself, if you haven't read it already, or maybe reread it. Watch the video. Google's Selfish Ledger is an unsettling vision of Silicon Valley social engineering. This internal video from 2016 shows a Google concept for how total data collection could reshape society, and reshape society is an understatement. Google has built a multi-billion dollar business out of knowing everything about its users. So again, you know, to my point, what was it yesterday, about the recent disclosure that now Google is going to, oh yeah, they're on board with getting rid of, doing away with third-party cookies. Well, that's just because they control everything anyway. Now they just don't want any competition anymore. Thanks, competition, for helping us get here now. Goodbye. Speaking of the X's, that to mirror an homage of whatever it was that Stuart Chase couldn't quite define, I think we'll call it X. The video was made in late 2016 by Nick Foster, the head of design at X. Formerly Google X. Everyone has an X. Google has an X. Apple has an X. Everyone has an X. And co-founder of the Near Future Laboratory. The video shared internally within Google imagines a future of total data collection. what? I thought that was the future is now. We'll know everything. We will tell you everything about everyone throughout, you know, from all history, all recorded history. We'll tell you. We've digitized every book and everything ever printed or written. We know the history of every person that's ever lived, ever walked on the face of the earth. We have all that. We'll hang on to that. Don't worry. We'll hang on to it. Nah, you don't need to see that. It's okay. Hey, Google, remember? No, actually, Fred, Bob, Joe, Steve, whomever. Maybe Google decides it doesn't want to remember that. That's a beautiful memory that you shared with Google, so that when maybe Google should remember that there are things in the food and water and the technology that Google operates on predominantly. Some of those things are bad for your health and probably contributing to the Alzheimer's. This gentleman is trying to, you know, save some memories. Why doesn't Google tell him about that? Hey, Bob, the technology, the device you're on right now is actually, maybe it didn't cause the Alzheimer's, but it's certainly aggravating it. The glyphosate that seems to leach the good metals and allow the bad metals to gather in parts of your brain that, you know, and eat out parts of your brain. The glyphosate seems to catalyze that. Maybe that's something that Google should help him remember. Didn't see that in the commercial. Anyway, the video shared internally within Google imagines a future of total data collection where Google helps nudge. It's the nudge. Helps nudge users into alignment with their goals. Custom prints personalized devices to collect more data. Hey, Bob, you seem like you're overweight. I printed a scale while you were at work. What do you think? To encourage, you know. And by the way, Amazon's delivering one tomorrow. This is just a prototype. Yeah, that was in the video. Watch it if you haven't. Custom prints personalized devices to collect more data. And even guides the behavior of entire populations to solve global problems like poverty and disease. But who decides? Someone is programming this technology. Well, no, it's AI. It's self-driven. No, someone programs it. Someone decides. Who's deciding? When reached for comment on the video, an ex-spokesperson, when I think ex, I think Stuart Chase. Kind of like when I think Spartacus, I think Adam Weishaupt. An ex-spokesperson provided the following statement to The Verge. We understand if this is disturbing, it is designed to be. This is a thought experiment by the design team from years ago that uses a technique known as speculative design, quote unquote. Explore uncomfortable ideas and concepts in order to provoke discussion and debate. It's not related to any current or future products. Mm-hmm. That's a statement the CIA wrote. And it might as well come directly from Mike Pompeo's desk. You know, by the way, who can take people like this seriously? I saw a thing. What was that? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I want to say. What was that? I'm going to find that real fast. Oh, yeah. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They say AOC on Fox Business. AOC. It's a brand. AOC is a brand, for Pete's sake, that the Justice Democrats brag about creating. AOC accuses Trump of paying black supporters. Yeah. Who can take her seriously? How can she take herself seriously? Who can believe anything Mike Pompeo says? And for that matter, who can take a reality TV president seriously? I can't. I don't understand any of it. None of it. Who can take the shivering Chihuahua Nancy Pelosi seriously? And yet these people are in positions of power. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was the result of a casting call by clandestine influence. That's a disclosed fact. There was a casting call. Her brother responded and said, hey, you know what, sis? I think this could be a thing for you. Let's see. Are they still bragging about it? Justice Democrats. Yep. Before Alexandria was known as AOC, there was a movement that recruited her. Well, a movement. Yeah. I mean, a handful of folks. I'm not sure I would call that a movement. A handful of folks. One or two in particular. I'm not sure I think that constitutes a movement, but okay. Who can take any of this seriously? And yet, I mean, I'm not a sitting U.S. congressperson or senator. Maybe I identify as one. We've heard that, right? I'm astonished every time I see, especially in tech circles, you know, these, you know, he, his, what? What is that? What is wrong with you? You know, you seem like when you do that, you seem like you have some dysphoria. You seem like you're suffering from a little bit of schizoaffective disorder. Because, you know, Ben Shapiro's right about that. You can't change you can't imagine your gender away or different. And, you know, as far as science and technology can go, still, you know, you can do certain things, but still, fact remains. Why do we have to do that? What if we work so hard to do these bizarre and aberrant things? Good night. So, you know, the phrase, it's not related to any current or future products, that just that they are working on this team. Maybe that's been bounced to another division. We're maintaining plausible deniability through compartmentalization there, it seems. But, you know, it's an extensive video, you know, and the homage, the reference to Black Mirror, Foster envisions a future where the notion, quote, the notion of a goal-driven ledger becomes more palatable. And suggestions may be converted not by the user, but by the ledger itself. This is where the Black Mirror undertones come to the fore. Gosh, what a coincidence of timing, huh? And so they're, you know, not working on any future products or anything like that, but you know what? Maybe it's just a matter of timing. The ledger actively seeking to fill gaps in its knowledge and even selecting data harvesting products to buy that it thinks may appeal to the user. You think it was bad that your dog was ordering things or that kids are ordering things from Amazon? Just wait till the Google ledger, the selfish ledger, gets a hold of your accounts. The example given in the video is a bathroom scale because the ledger doesn't yet know how much its user weighs. Well, you know, we can't just leave that to the user. What's a user, by the way? We've had that conversation, speaking of Lark. What's a user? When does that term get used, ordinarily? The video then takes a farther turn toward anxiety-inducing sci-fi, imagining that the ledger may become so astute as to propose and 3D print its own designs. Welcome home, Dave. I built you a scale. And on and on. Stick around, we'll be right back.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My friends feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, I wanna spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother sit me right down and he talked to me. Oh, he told me that I ought not to let you just walk on me.
Welcome back.
And I'm sure he meant well.
Final segment of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, February 6, 2020. Things are getting crazy. People are losing their minds. And, you know, what you do with that, gosh, that's a difficult thing. Getting back to my conversation with Chance in West Virginia today in particular. It's a difficult thing. I don't think it's a small issue, topic, discussion. I think it's a big thing. It's the thing. It is the thing. It is the question, the issue, the discussion of our time. And just to sort of put it in a particular context, I had a conversation with a gentleman this morning, about 50 years old. And so we were talking about stuff, you know, and I said, things have been crazy in my life. I mean, I've just, since my father passed away this last June, I've never, you know, you read about certain things, but you never, I mean, I don't think people really experience things. Hopefully, most people don't experience what I've experienced. I really wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But things have been crazy. So I was saying, you know, it's just been so bizarre, just bizarre. You know, I mean, I'll give you one example. Right now we're in a situation where the estate attorney says, you know, we have these personal assets in the estate. And so, you know, we need to sell some of those to pay the bills that are owed against the estate. And I've said for, well, since the beginning, and for months, don't sell anything before letting us know what the bills are. You know, tell us what needs to be paid. Because what you're saying is you're going to sell things that you say, according to this will, which I think is phony, but that's a different discussion. You say, according to this will, that, you know, we're supposed to inherit these things, but you're going to sell them to pay bills. Tell us what the bills are. And guess what? I get no response from an attorney. No response, literally no response. Is that not the weirdest thing? You know, my sister says, hey, you know, I'd be willing to sort of liaise in my words if that's helpful, you know, because I'm not the easiest person to get along with. Some people say sometimes, whatever. My sister says, you know, I'd be willing to step in if that's helpful. Again, no response, zero. Is that not weird? But anyway, I'll finish this story. The gentleman, there's a point to it on the other side of this break. Third hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.